Well, happy you've had this
May
meeting then.
31st, 2008, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
I hope to see you all from the best parts of the East Coast. So today we'll be continuing our course on Sri Shikshastakam by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with commentaries by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Srila Gurudev. And the commentaries of the previous acharyas being translated by Srila Gurudev, they are automatically become bhavanuvads, which means that bhav, you know, means mood. Anu means following. So Gurudev explained that his mood, could it be louder?
No, it's okay.
No, can it be?
Cannot be louder than this.
Oh, yeah, now it's fine. That his moods mix in with the moods of the acharyas who he's translating. So it's not a literal translation, but it's a merging of the two acharyas' moods into one. Yesterday, we began with verse 1, and just as a summary, we read about the necessity of knowing certain glories of the Absolute Truth and our relationship with that Absolute Truth. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to have the conviction to chant, because the names of God, Krishna, are none different from that supreme absolute reservoir of all existence. Can somebody...
Where's the volume on this laptop?
Is it the laptop? It's not the laptop, it's the basketball.
Oh, the basketball. Okay.
Because nam and nami are one, Krishna and his name are one. So unless we understand the glories of the name, why bother? So in the form of glorifying the Absolute Supreme Whole himself, we hear the glories of Nam. That is, by the influence of the Supreme Lord's inconceivable, all-accommodating internal potency. He exists in four features. In his original form as Vrindavan Chandra, Shyamasundar Krishna. Then he exists in his Padarup by Bhav forms, that is, all of the incarnations, all of their abodes, and all of their pastimes. Then he exists as the Jivas, and then he exists as the material energy, as the unmanifested material energy which turns into all the universes. Then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is discussing that internal parashakti, the transcendental energy, the complete transcendental energy of the Lord, has three forms, takes three forms. One is the internal energy, that is antaranga shakti, one has the marginal energy, and one has the bahiranga shakti, or the phantasmagoric material world. And then all the acharyas discuss their own speciality of the different meanings of each line, Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadevagni Nirvapanam, that the chanting is gets rid of the dust from the mirror of the heart, and it gives all the blessings of Bhava Bhakti, and it is the life of all knowledge. All knowledge is at your feet by chanting. it spreads the rays and the benediction moon of that Bhava Bhakti, and the lotus flower of the mind and heart blossom when it receives those rays of Bhava Bhakti, at which time transcendental sentiments awaken in the heart in relation to Krishna, different kinds of ecstasies. Like right now, we have many different material emotions that really have nothing to do with us, that are just products of the interaction of the modes of nature, which we identify as our emotions, like anger, like envy, like greed, like happy to achieve something, sad to have lost something, hankering to gain something. All these emotions really have nothing to do with us, but due to identifying with the body and mind and being disconnected from Krishna by turning away from him, we claim all these emotions are ours. So at the stage of Bhav Bhakti, all the real emotions of the soul, different kinds of ecstasies, permanent ecstasy of my relationship with Krishna as a beloved or as a mother or as a friend or whatever, and all the transitory emotions like being stunned, humility, not the humility that I'm experiencing now, oh, I'm such a bad devotee, but real humility, like the humility of the gopis, that, oh, we have no love of Krishna, so let us, in our next birth, take birth as a little stone on Govardhan so that we'll get Krishna's association. And then we read about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's definition of Parang Bhajayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Sankirtan means Sarvato Bhavena Kirtan. That means all anartas are vanished and one has entered onto the platform of Bhava Bhakti with all the real emotions of the soul. And that is where Sankirtan begins, at that stage. Then one is really chanting. And also we read that one might think that since at the time of chanting purely, one realizes his insignificant nature, insignificant identity, as just 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. Like right now, I think I'm the center of everything. I'm the most important. I'm who everything should be going around. I should get the praise. But at the time of self-realization, I realize how insignificant I am. So does that mean that my ultimate happiness of the soul is also insignificant, because I am? So Srila Gurudev translates that actually Anandam Buddhivartanam, the ocean of happiness, at that point increases to the point of unlimitedness. Not only unlimited, but at every moment it increases unlimitedly, even though it's already unlimited. So that was good news. So now we're beginning the discussion of second verse. Oh, the first verse, I forgot to say what the first verse is, didn't I? Cheto darpanamajanam bhavamahadavagninirvapanam Shreyakoiravachandrikavataranam vidyavadu jivanam Anandambudhivajanam patipadam punamritasvaranam Sarvatmasnapanam param vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. And, of course, the translation Let there be supreme victory for the chanting of the holy name of Sri Krishna. What does supreme victory mean? Victory over what, Anita?
Over all of the
loud?
Over all of our material identifications, our lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, all these kinds of things. We want the holy name to conquer.
Anything
all
else? You mentioned lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy.
Yeah.
What else?
Our general illusion.
General illusion of forgetfulness?
Yeah.
Anything else?
That's good for now.
Our senses? Mind?
Ego, intelligence.
Ego, material intelligence. All my senses, sense of touch, sense of taste, that they should be victorious. The holy name should be victorious. Not just, okay, be victorious where you are and I'll be where I am. But supreme victory means that you take me over, just as one country who is victorious over the defeated country takes over. So let there be supreme victory for the chanting of the holy name of Sri Krishna alone, which cleanses the mirror of the heart and completely extinguishes the blazing fire of material existence. It diffuses the soothing moon rays of spiritual ecstasy or bhava that cause the living entity's white lotus of good fortune to develop or bloom. The holy name is the life and soul of transcendental knowledge, which is here compared to a wife. It continuously expands the ocean of transcendental bliss. Prabhupada said that if you're in New York and the ocean would be to, I guess, New Jersey, you also have the Atlantic Ocean right near you?
Yes.
Then Washington?
We have
not quite.
Not quite. Unless it really expanded, then it would get to Washington too. Mm-hmm. But the ocean of happiness, Anandamriti Vardhanam, expands unlimitedly, and there's no disaster as there would be if, as there is with the material ocean. The holy name of Krishna thoroughly cleanses and cools the self, one's nature, one's determination. Like if you don't like your nature, I wish I wasn't like that. I wish I didn't do that all the time. I wish I wasn't paranoid or insecure all the time. I wish I didn't make people feel bad all the time. So if we want to get rid of that, just chant Hare Krishna, because it cleanses and cools the self, one's nature, and one's determination, as well as the body, both internally and externally. We mentioned yesterday that Gurudev said about his Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Pragyan Kesha Goswami Maharaj, that sometimes he would only bathe once a month, and that just by throwing a loda over his shoulder, a loda full of water over his shoulder. But still he was always clean and fresh, because he was bathed externally by the holy name. Now we will start with verse 2. Nam nam akari bahuda nija sara shakti tatra tidane amata smarane nakala ekadrisi tava kripa madhavam mamati durdaiva me dursameha janina. Translation, O Bhagavan, O Lord, your holy name bestows all auspiciousness upon the living entities. Therefore, for the benefit of the living entities, you eternally manifest your innumerable names, such as Rama, Narayana, Krishna, Mukunda, Madhava, Govinda, Damodar, and so on. You have invested those names with all the potencies of your respective personal forms. Out of causeless mercy, you have not even imposed any restrictions on the chanting and remembrance of such names, as in the case of Sandhya Vandana, which must be chanted only at specified times of the day. You know Sandhya Vandana, the Gayatri mantras. 3 times a day, or twice in the morning and once in the evening if you know that your noon is going to be filled up with too much work and you may not remember or have the opportunity. And one should be clean, and one should be facing a certain direction. So there's no such restrictions for chanting the holy names. In other words, at any time of the day or night, the holy name can be chanted and remembered. This is the provision you have made. O Lord, this is your causeless mercy upon the living entities. But I'm so unfortunate that due to committing so many offenses, I have not awoken any attachment for your holy name, which is so easily accessible and bestows all good fortune. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that actually Sankirtan means not only the name, just like Sukadeva Goswami was a Kirtaniya because he spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikit. But he was singing the glories, not the name. Then there's, he was singing the qualities and the pastimes and glorifying the form. And qualities, pastimes, form, and name. All of that is considered within Sankirtan. But the holy name is the root of everything. First, the holy name becomes manifest in the heart, and then all the others. And the holy name includes all the others. Of the 64 limbs, what's another name that's more easily understood by everybody? Because a limb doesn't, that limb sounds funny. Items. The 64 items, they are limbs because they're all parts. Parts or items, 64 items of devotional service, beginning with accepting a spiritual master, hearing instructions from him, following the previous acharyas, following Ekadasi and the other holidays, worshipping the tulsi plant, worshipping the banyan tree, observing or submitting to the 6 symptoms of surrender, avoiding the 10 offenses while chanting the holy name, avoiding all offenses in deity worship, like don't come in the temple in a palanquin, or wearing your shoes, singing to the deities, offering prayers, so many, 64 items. Of all the 64 items, there are 9 that are prominent, as you know, hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet, etc. And then there are 5 prominent out of the 9, that is associating with pure devotees, serving the deity with love and faith according to the directions in the scriptures, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam under the guidance of the pure devotee, and living in a holy place like Mathura, Vrindavan, or a temple or a house turned into a temple. Of those 5, there are 3 that are most significant, and that is hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna. And out of all those, the number 1 is chanting the holy name. Then he explains, and also Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains in his commentary. His commentary is called, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's commentary is called Riti, which means commentary. And Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur's commentary is called Sanmodan, Sanmodan word. Modam Basya. Basya also means commentary or explanation. And I think Sanmodan means which gives all happiness. So in both of their commentaries, they explain that there are 2 kinds of names, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who, knowing that in this age of Kali, when everybody's so fallen, no one has any interest in the Lord is so merciful that he makes everything very easy for everybody to come in the form of his holy name. What to speak of Sandhya Vandana? Deity worship is so difficult with so many rules and regulations and timings and cleanliness. And what to speak of devotional activities, material activities also have so many conditions. If you want money, you have to work all day, you have to get up in the morning, and you have to go out, and you have to associate with people that you might not like, and you have to pay taxes, and so many rules and regulations. Or for impersonal liberation, there's so many austerities, and you have to do very difficult work of trying to imagine nothing. Can you imagine? Close your eyes and imagine nothing. Can you imagine nothing? Impossible. So everything is so stringent, so difficult, and they're not even worth getting anyway. So the holy name fulfills all the desires that one has, which makes him ambitious for fruitive activities, to get fruitive results. Money, nice clothes, what else does fruitive activities give you? Friends, everything. And so everything that you'd want from the fruitive activity, you can't get from the fruitive activity. There's always frustration, fears, lamentation when you lose something. So what you want from it, you get from the holy name. Same thing with mental speculation, for trying to be happy by thoughts, and ultimately the thought of becoming God. That is also wreaked with frustrations. And one who wants to become one with God, all he has to do is chant the holy names. Not only can he become one with God by that way, but he can become better than God. How's that? Prabhupada said in one lecture back at the original ISKCON temple, 26 Second Avenue, we don't want to become one with God, we want to become greater than God, just like Mother Yasoda thinks, if I don't feed my son, he'll die. And the gopis think, if Krishna doesn't see us now, he'll die. And so they're also just about to die for him, but they're really just about to die, being so lost in his, in the knowledge of his unhappiness, that he's just about to die without them. That's oneness, and greater than at the same time. So all difficult things are easy to get. The results of all other things are easy to get by chanting the holy name. As it says here in the verse, all the powers, all of your powers are invested in your holy names, according to the particular name. So there's various kinds of names. There's two divisions of two divisions. One set of two divisions is the Mukhya Nam and the Gona Nam, or the direct name and the indirect name, or rather first primary name and secondary name. One directly refers to a particular form of the Lord in terms of giving him his name, like Nisringadev, Rama, Varaha, Kurma, Kiridakshai Vishnu. They're all direct names of personal forms of the Lord, and they are primary names. Then there are secondary names, or gonanam. Gona also means indirect. They're names that are not directly names of the person. Like I can call Anita Girlie, or Miss, or I can call her that's not really good. I was going to say she's in charge of copyrights, but that could be her personal activity. So the analogy is, and then you can make your own.
Okay.
connection is that Krishna has personal forms with personal names and personal activities. Then he has posts in relation to this material world. For example, he's Jagadish. He's the Lord of this universe. And he's Jagannath. These are names, but not names of his personal features. They're names of him in relation to this world. And then there's Brahma, which means the supreme truth. Depending on if you're a personalist or a personalist, it means the impersonalist, impersonal absolute, or the personal absolute, or Param Brahma, then that's definitely the supreme absolute truth. Or Srista, which means the creator. So these are all indirect names. They're names of the, not the personal forms of the Lord, but the the Lord as he's in relation to us in the material world. And the prayers to him are all in relation to us in the material world. Make me happy, free me from suffering, give me a good job. Then, within the primary names, like Ram, Nrisimha, Varaha, there are Madhurya names and Aishwarya names, or names of Krishna in his opulent feature of Narayan or Kiridakshaya Vishnu, and names of Krishna in his Madhurya features as Radhakanta, Radhanath, Gopinath, Kana, which is a nickname of Krishna as the son of Yasoda, Yasoda Nandan, Nanda Nandan. And within that court category of Madhurya, there's also different divisions. As we know, the Madhurya feature of Krishna, the human-like pastimes of Krishna, contain within them all the Aishwarya pastimes. Just as Vaikuntha is present within Vrindavan, so all of the activities of Krishna as Vaikunthanath, Lord of Vaikuntha, all those qualities and powers are present in Vrijendranandan Shamsundar or Vrindavan Chandra. But they're not so visible because they're covered by his sweetness. Suppose, let's say we have an ounce of salt and try to eat an ounce of salt. Can you imagine? That would be pretty salty. Now let's add an ounce of sugar to that ounce of salt. No, let's not even do that. Let's add one extra ounce to it. And let's mix it with 2 ounces of sugar. There's more salt than before, but it's less salty. Now let's take 5 ounces of salt and 10 ounces of sugar. There's more salt, but it's less, even less salty than before. And let's take 10 ounces of salt and a ton of sugar. There's more opulence, more salt, but you can't even taste it if there's a ton of sugar, can you? So, similarly, in Vaikuntha, Krishna has opulences. And that's all you see. In Dwarka, there's more opulence, but you taste less. Krishna is married to 16,000 queens, and he lives with them simultaneously in 16,000 palaces. And he's living with all of them. And one Narada Muni went to one house and one palace, and he was playing with his kids. Another house he was arranging for marriage. Another house he was saying his mantras as a good householder. But he was saying, worshipping himself. So there's more opulence, and all the opulence of Vaikunthanath, whose portion breathes in and out the universe, is that's also present in Dwarkadish. And then there's still more, like lifting Govardhan Hill, like Rasa Leela, but nobody feels it. Now you may wonder, how is it possible to be so powerful and not feel it? I'll give you an example that you will see very clearly in your own lives. Just like we were in Achyuta Krishna Prabhu's car yesterday. And was it yesterday? And every few minutes, it was a lady's voice started speaking. In 0.7 miles, turn left, and then turn right. And he was just pushing buttons, and sound, music was coming, and this lady was telling him what to do. And then he comes home, and he gets on his computer, and he has to send, he's speaking to somebody over the phone 3,000 miles away, and he said, wait a minute, I'll send you a book. And he presses a button, and in 1 second, the book is 3,000 miles away on the other person's computer. So, very magic thing. And you think he thinks, whoa, I'm really great. No, he thinks, oh, my son's hungry, and he's watching television, and he's hungry, and I want him to turn off the cassette, and at the same time, because he has to come and eat. So he's just thinking like an ordinary husband, father, but yet he's doing all these mystic power things. Like right now, we're on TV. And none of us think that it's a big deal, that, you know, we're so powerful or anything. So we can, you know, by our small example, we can see how it could be for Krishna. He's breathing in and out universes, and at the same time, he's running around the Kunj, and his more complete feature, like, where's Radharani hiding from me? Or he's throwing a temper tantrum because his mother won't give him her breast milk to drink. And so, or they won't give him what he wants to eat, and so he's breaking everything in the house. So this is called Naravat Leela. Although there's extreme opulence, it's neither noticed by the person who's performing the opulent activity nor by his associates. So these Madhurya feature is more complete than the Aishwarya feature. And each feature, the name of that feature, whether it's Aishwarya or Madhurya, has all the powers of that feature. Ram's name has all the powers of Ramchandra. All of you in this room, I'm looking around, most of you, except for one, Anita's brother, have received Harinam initiation from Srila Gurudev. And you may remember that at the time of receiving the initiation, Gurudev told you that God is so great, Krishna is so great, that in 1 second, he can create innumerable universes. And in the next second, he can destroy them. And in the next second, he can recreate them. So the holy name of Krishna has that much power. In fact, the holy name has more powers because the holy name is more merciful. Because there's so many impediments that we have for seeing Krishna. He's not going to come to our house, but the holy name comes to our tongue. So the holy name is more merciful even than God himself. Then, among the Madhurya names, there's also degrees of power. For example, Krishna as a coward boy is, in Vrindavan, Krishna is most complete. In Dwarka, he's complete. In Mathura, he's more complete. And in Vrindavan, he's most complete. But within that most completeness, Krishna, as the beloved of the gopis, is more complete, more beautiful, with more qualities than Krishna as the son of Yasoda or Krishna as the friend of Subal, for example. And then among the gopis, he's Gopikant, but the beloved of the gopis, but the more complete and more powerful name and form is, I mean, now he doesn't have a different form, but different activities or mood, is Radhakant, Radhanath. So in that way, the information is given, so if we want the most power, what names do we chant? Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihari, or Jasomati Nandana, Brajabada Nagara. And they give the highest love. So now we're coming to a series of verses that are quoted by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that glorify the holy name. So I'll read them. The first one describes the holy name's power to remove sins. And I don't know about anybody else, but I have a lot that needs to be destroyed from this birth and many, many births. O Lord, just by seeing you, all the sins of mankind are destroyed. This is not at all impossible for even a low-class dog eater who hears your holy name but once is liberated from material existence. The next verse will find out how the holy name, the chanting of the holy name, is superior to study of the Vedas. The extent to which the twice-born Brahmanas recite the syllables of the Vedas, or chanting the Vedas, they most certainly indirectly chant the holy name of the Lord. Of this there is no doubt. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Padyanti Suraya. There's names of Krishna there. That means Vishnu is the Supreme Lord. And his lotus feet are worshipped by all the Brahmins. But one who has uttered the two syllables ha and ri, hari, should be understood to have completed all his study of the Vedas. Of course, that doesn't mean my chanting does, but chanting, pure chanting, shudanam. But you have to start somewhere. Even namaparad is so beneficial. Not for us, but for even just a person, any murderer, meat eater, gambler, just anybody off the street. If he hears and chants, he gets so much benefit. Just like Valmiki was such a murderer, that such a dacoit, that he would kill Brahmanas and put their Brahman's thread in a well, and he had his whole collection, a well full of Brahman's thread. But still, by chanting under the direction of Narada, he became such a great personality that the whole Ramayana was revealed in his heart before Lord Ram came, and he wrote it all. So, therefore, do not study the Rig Yajra Sama Atharva Vedas. Just sing the name of Govinda, and in this way engage constantly in the chanting of the holy name. In fact, all the Lord's pastimes, if you take all of Krishna's pastimes, all of Rama's pastimes, all of Nisringa's pastimes, all of Varaha's pastimes, all of Vamadeva's pastimes, all of Kiradaksha, Vishnu's pastimes, of being the super soul in everyone's heart, and lying down on the Shesha, the thousand-headed serpent, Ananta, all of that, and Mahavishnu, who's breathing in and out universes, all of that is present in one name, Krishna. Can you imagine that? Amazing. But then we see at the end of this verse, Durdoiva me drisami hajani nanavada. But unfortunate as I am, due to my past offenses, I have no taste. But that lamentation is good. And there are so many prayers full of lamentation and appeal, as you know we have in our songbook. I once told Gurudev about 13 or so years ago, you know, Gurudev, I spend half my day, you know what I'm going to say? I spend half my day worrying about what people think about me, and I spend the second half of my day judging others. What a day! So Gurudev said, you should have no time, because you should be fully absorbed in the bhajans, lamenting and appealing to the Lord and to the devotees, and to the name through the bhajans, chanting the songs of Narottam Das Thakur and Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur and Rupa Goswami, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then, the next verse tells what happens if we disrespect the holy name that we're chanting, or that anybody else is chanting. Those persons who disrespect the chanting of the holy names of the Supreme Lord and go about their way fall down into formidable hell as a consequence of such a sinful act. It's a sinful act just to be disrespectful. Such a sinful act. Therefore, just as Prabhupada stressed Nagar Sankirtan and book distribution and preaching and college programs and so many things, so does Gurudev also. The next verse establishes that the chanting of the holy name is the best sadhana or practice, spiritual practice. This is a very nice verse. It was in New Zealand some years ago. Gurudev went to somebody's house. You know, he would go to different houses and sit down and say something and take some fruit and distribute the fruit. So in one house, he simply quoted this verse that I'm about to read and then explained the glories of the holy name. Etanir vidyamananam ichchatam akutobayam Yoginam Nipunir Nitam Harenam Anukirtanam. This is Srila Sukadeva Goswami speaking to King Parikit. O King, it is the opinion of all scriptures and all previous acharyas that whether one is an unalloyed devotee or whether one is detached from material existence on account of direct experience of the miseries of material life, or whether one is desirous to go to heavenly planets, or whether one wants liberation, merging into the existence of the Supreme and losing my identity, or whether one is a self-satisfied yogi with so many powers like, oh, I can reach out to another planet, just like that, and take a fruit from there. Or I can become smaller than an atom, or heavier than a planet. I can travel from one planet to the other. No matter what one is of the above, one should chant the holy name of the Lord with great love to achieve the perfection of what you want. And the next verse is very interesting because even if we don't understand fully the glories of the Lord, just like if a child puts his hand in the fire and it doesn't really understand the constituents and properties of fire, still he will get burnt. Just as a scientist who knows it all and sticks his hand in the fire. Or somebody who has gold and knows all the properties of gold, he's as rich as the person who has the gold and doesn't know really the value of what he has. So similarly, even if one doesn't understand the glories of the Lord fully, the holy name itself reveals itself to the sincere chanter. Just like Gop Kumar, in a dream, he was just a normal, everyday materialist. And he worshipped, she doesn't like the fact that practically everybody in the scriptures who make advancement are already pure devotees. But you will be happy to know that his disciple, Janasharma, was... No, I mean Janasharma, I didn't mean Gop Kumar. Janasharma was really a conditioned, ordinary materialist. Gurudev said that. This one really was. And so he worshipped the goddess Durga and her illustrious husband Lord Shiva. And one day in a dream, Durga appeared to him in a dream and gave him this Gopal mantra. And he just started chanting it, and she didn't give any definition. So then gradually he keeps chanting, and he gets into different situation and learns more and gets dissatisfied with that, and he keeps chanting. And sure enough, he ends up and meets Gop Kumar, who is a eternal associate of the Lord as a coward boy, and accepts Janasharma as his disciple, and he tells him of his own experience, and then he gives him all tattvas. But Janasharma was appreciating the tattvas, all about the glories of the Lord and the name and this illusory energy and prema, and but he didn't have any realization. So because his disciple was so sincere, Gop Kumar put his hand on the head of his disciple, and then his disciple, Janasharma, closed his eyes, and when he opened his eyes, he saw that he was in Goloka Vrindavan and running to embrace Krishna and fainting. And Gurudev said, this is a true story. So I'll read the verse here. That even if one is not fully aware of the Lord's glories, it is self-revealing. It reveals itself. Like sometimes Gurudev, he'll only tell a little bit about the Gayatri Mantra when he's giving Gayatri Mantra. But he says, you may not know what you're getting, but keep chanting and it itself will reveal its own glories and the pastimes of the Lord and your own swarup, your own constitutional identity. O Vishnu, your name is fully spiritual, and thus it is self-manifested. Although we are not perfectly acquainted with the glories of uttering your holy name, if we chant, knowing just a little